Exodus 16, verses 4 through 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Most merciful God, we thank you and praise you for your word to us this day. We ask now that that which has been opened to our eyes and ears might be more so opened to our heart, mind, and souls by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, send your word forth, we pray, from these lips, not by the designs or devices of man, but by your will, by your command, and for your purpose, that your word may go forth and not return void. Father, as your word does go forth, we ask that you might use it in each one of us, that you might use it in your congregation, that as we hear these things, we might find ourselves confronted with our own sin. And where we are confronted with our own sin, may we find the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is our desire that as we look to your word, we find Christ Jesus himself. And that as we behold our Savior in our midst, we might find that once again, the joy of our salvation being restored to us, that we might find ourselves once again nourished by your word, that we might find ourselves once again built up in faith and hope and love, that in all things we might be made more like our Savior, as you continue to sanctify us with his blood according to your word. For we ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Excuse me. In praying through the Lord's Prayer, as so many people from so many Christian traditions often do, the petition that often gets lost in the mix is that of our text this morning. "Give us this day our daily bread." Most believers in America have 7 or 8 days' worth of daily bread in their refrigerators and their pantries, and for those with freezers, they have several months' worth of daily bread. And the fascinating thing is, we don't eat all of that food before we buy or barter for more. While good food is still sitting on our shelves, we go shopping, usually weekly, and to add to our increase. In fact, never in the history of humankind has food been so cheaply and readily available to so many people. The average American eats better each day than the richest historical monarchs of Europe and Asia could ever imagine. In fact, we have so much daily bread that the USDA estimates over $100 billion worth of food is wasted every year just in the U.S. alone. Given this reality, it is no wonder that asking God for food for the day seems a bit pointless to some. And many, when they read this instruction, are baffled by it. Why do we need to pray for something that we have in abundance? Why do we need to pray for something that the reality is none of us in here have ever gone without? If we have gone without a meal, it is generally because of our choice, not because we had to. None of us in here have known true, deep hunger or thirst. We have received our daily bread every single day of our lives, whether we've lived a few years or many years. And so for many, particularly American Christians, this petition doesn't really mean a whole lot. But as Jesus taught this petition in Matthew chapter 6, he meant far more than just praying that God provide physical sustenance for his people each day. As with much of the Lord's Prayer, there are multiple layers to what is being taught and prayed, that the root of our plea might not be merely for bread for a day, but a deep, abiding trust in the God who provides all things pertaining to life and godliness to those he loves. But certainly the provision of God for physical needs was in view. In Jesus' day particularly, food was much harder to come by than it is now, and it certainly was not found in the quantity or variety that most of us have become accustomed to. While the Roman Empire was prosperous, unless one was part of the upper class, enough food to satiate a person fully every single day was not a guaranteed thing. And especially for the lower classes and the slaves, who generally were those who turned to the Christian faith in the first century, praying for daily food was actually a necessary thing. There may be days where they didn't have much to eat, if anything. But as Jesus spoke this petition into a world that was historically very different than ours right now, there was another level. For as he spoke these things, most of his audience would have been Jews. And the Jews, particularly in hearing this petition taught, would hearken back to their own history and would hearken back to the story of the exodus of their people from Egypt through the Sinai wilderness. For we remember that after they had crossed the Red Sea, they grumbled. They grumbled against God, complaining that they were going to starve to death. They grumbled against God, complaining that he had brought them into the wilderness just to kill them with hunger. There was no natural abundant food source in the Sinai wilderness. There still isn't. And there certainly was not enough food in the Sinai wilderness to sustain over 1 million men, women, and children on a daily basis for 40 years. And so the Israelites, as they came into the wilderness and were making their way to the Mount Horeb, which is Sinai, were hungry. And God, as we find in our Old Testament text this morning, promised to rain down food upon them daily. And as we know from the rest of Exodus 16, he did so, bringing up quail in the evening and manna in the morning, every day of the week, save the Sabbath. Every day of the week, God provided their bread, and he provided for the Sabbath the day before. And so literally, God gave them their daily bread every single day for 40 years of wilderness wandering. There was not one single day that any of the Israelites went without food or water because of the lack of provision by God. If they did so, it was by choice. It was not because God had not provided. And as we are told in Exodus 16, verse 35, the people ate manna for 40 years until they came to the promised land. The Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai had to trust God daily. They had to trust God every day for their food. For 40 years, they did not plow and they did not plant. They did not raise sheep or cattle for food. They did not forage and they did not hunt. For 40 years, every single morning, for 6 days a week, God fed them, giving them exactly enough to eat during that day and no more. If they collected more, it went bad, it went sour, and the worms ate it. He gave them exactly enough for that day, and that was all, except for the day before Sabbath, where he gave them enough for the Sabbath as well. And at the end of the day, if God did not provide for the people of Israel, the people of Israel would have starved to death. What they accused him of would have happened. But God did not allow it to happen. Every day, he gave them their daily bread. And so for the Jews of Jesus' day, hearing these words and praying such a prayer would carry with it also the weight of the history of their people. A remembrance that this is exactly what God had done for 40 years. But most of the people of God in our own day have never been forced to trust in God in this exact manner. We arise to refrigerators and freezers full of food and to instant coffee and fast food that is prepared for us by others, available to anyone with even just a little bit of money. We arise to that which we have purchased or been given, to that which we have worked for, and in a variety which we have chosen. And if our own variety doesn't suit us, we go out and pay someone else to feed us. And with such abundance, rarely do we stop to consider that just like the Israelites of old, all of this has come from the hand of God. All of it. We do not get up every morning and watch it fall from the sky or rise from the earth at the end of the day as quail, but everything we have been given for physical sustenance in this life has come from God. From the most menial of bread and water, to the gourmet dinners of steak and fish and chicken and all of the trimmings we have as we celebrated these holidays over the past few months, all of this has been given to us by God. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we admit it or not, and whether we even prayed for it or not, it has all been given to us by a gracious and loving Father. As John the Baptist said in John 3, verse 27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. And James 1, verse 17 tells us explicitly, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is our provider. God alone is our provider. Perhaps this point is made most poignantly in Genesis chapter 22. The record of Abraham faithfully obeying the Lord who had told him to take Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him. And so here is the child of promise, the one that God had promised, that Abraham and Sarah had their shenanigans trying to sneak Ishmael in there because they weren't sure Isaac was going to show up. And God, no, here's the one. And in his timing, he gave them Isaac. And here's the child of promise that God gave Abraham, covenanted to Abraham he would do. And now God has asked him to take him up the mountain and offer him in sacrifice. And Abraham, in faith, we are told, did so. And as they went, Isaac pointed out to his father, we have the fire, we have the wood, we have the things necessary for making sacrifice at the top of the mountain, except we're missing something. We're missing the sacrifice. The most important thing isn't here, Isaac basically is saying. And Abraham, verse 8 of Genesis chapter 22, answered, Yahweh Yireh, the Hebrew words for the Lord will provide. And then, as we know the story, as Isaac was about to be sacrificed, the Lord indeed provided. He raised Abraham's eyes to see the ram caught in the thicket. And rather than Isaac dying, the ram was substituted for him in place of Isaac, and Abraham worshipped God. Abraham made sacrifice according to the will of God, and Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. The translation of this is not God did provide, but that God will provide. A perpetual reminder to all of God's people throughout the generations that it is God and God alone that provides us with that which we need. And while we in this day and age recognize he hasn't forced us to trust him every morning for our daily food like he did the Israelites wandering the desert, God has given us our daily food in blessing us through the labors of our hands, in blessing us through the generosity of others. But no matter where we think our daily food actually comes from in the physical realm, the reality is it ultimately comes from the hand of a merciful God who is Yahweh Yireh, a God who provides for his people. This is true of our needs, both temporal, the things that of this earth that satisfy our bodily needs, but also the things that are spiritual, that which we need to live forever. And so in praying this petition, we are praying not only for the things we need in this life, but also that God would work in our hearts, that we might trust him daily for all that he has promised us, both physical and spiritual. That though we are not forced by our circumstances to trust in him the way the Israelites of old were, we all know that if we don't pray this prayer tomorrow morning, we're all probably going to still eat well. And we're still going to have the things we need. And we're still going to be able to go about our life, though we are not forced the way the Israelites were to trust God. The desire of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ is that we might trust Him of our own volition, in recognizing His grace and mercy, in recognizing that everything we have has been given to Him, to us by Him, that everything we will have will be given to us by Him. The recognizing that He is our provider, even if He hasn't done so miraculously, and even if we aren't forced to trust Him in this manner every single day. The desire is that we would trust Him every single day. And so in the covenant of grace, God has not brought us into a wilderness where we absolutely must. But part of the recognition in this prayer is that we should, because we know the truth of it. We know that if He were to withdraw His gracious provision from us in this moment, we would die. If He were to withdraw His grace and mercy from us, we would die. And so we recognize that truly everything we have been given has come from God and God alone. Yes, He has used secondary means. Yes, He uses the labor of our hands, and He uses those who farm and till the ground, and He uses rain to bring up the crops and those who pick the crops. And there are many, many things that He uses to provide for us, but at the end of the day, the table set before us is set before us by God Himself, He who is our provider. And we are to seek His provision every day, and we are to bless Him for His provision every day. But another layer of this prayer is understood as we consider it in the context of redemptive history and the salvation we have been given in Christ Jesus. For as Jesus Himself points out in John 6, verse 35, He is the bread of life. And in so doing, He makes the direct correlation between Himself and the manna that God gave the Israelites of the Exodus, the manna that God provided for them daily. And so as Jesus spoke to the Jews in John 6, 48 through 51, He said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. God sustained them every day, and they lived through the time that God had placed them there, but ultimately they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven," Jesus said, "so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Where God provided manna from heaven for His people under the old covenant, He has provided bread from heaven for all of His people in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we who rejoice to be under the new covenant recognize that where the bread of heaven in the Sinai wilderness provided the Israelites with physical life, that no Israelite died of starvation throughout the 40 years they wandered. The bread of heaven given to us in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ provides us with spiritual life, that we might know that any of us who eat it, all of us who eat it, will live forever. We will not know death. And so this is the promise of God, not just to provide for our physical needs, but as we feed on the one who is our Lord Jesus Christ, to provide for all of our spiritual needs as well, to sustain us for eternity through the bread of life. And so while we pray that God would supply our needs and work in us that we might trust Him more and more every day, we also pray that God would daily feed us with the bread of life, that He might daily feed us with the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be sustained each and every day in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we might be sustained each and every day until that final day when we are sustained for eternity as we stand before Him in glory. We pray that we might trust Him more and more each day, not only for the physical things of this life, but that by the power of His Holy Spirit, He might nurture us with the bread of life, that we might grow in grace, that we might be nourished by the gospel, that we might have strength, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, to comprehend with all the saints the expansive, overwhelming love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Because this is what the bread of life gives us. This is the promise of the bread of life, not just to sustain us a little bit, but to give us all of the blessings of God Himself. now and for eternity. And so as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, our prayer takes on a whole new meaning as we understand these things. We pray that day upon day, we might be diligent to feed upon Christ by faith, even as we eat bread and meat for our physical sustenance. We pray that day upon day we might attend to the truth of His Word as He builds us up in faith and hope by the power of His Holy Spirit. We pray that day after day we might not grumble or complain about the provision He has given us, but ever give Him thanks and praise for all the blessings beyond measure that He has already poured out for us. We pray that day upon day we might recognize He is Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides, who always provides, who will never not provide for His people. And we pray that day upon day we might trust Him fully to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, as Paul told the Philippians. Far more than just praying for our daily bread. These are the things we pray for when we pray according to the will of God, as Christ has taught us. And we pray. We pray that God might work in us that deep-seated trust, a trust that He is the one who will provide and does provide. Jeremiah 17:7-8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its shoots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. We pray that we might trust, that we might not be anxious, that we might recognize that it is God who provides all things. Psalm 37:3-7, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Trust in the Lord and rejoice in the fruitfulness that He provides for His people, for His church. Delight in the things of the Lord as He continually gives us the desires of our hearts. As we petition the Lord our God according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, and as we humbly ask Him for our daily bread, may we do so in full faith, trusting that our God will act, trusting that our God will provide for us physically and spiritually, trusting that He will continue to work in our hearts, and asking that He build us up in that trust. That we might never doubt, we might never turn away, that we might never accuse Him of starving us to death. As the Israelites stood in the wilderness and shook their fists at the covenant God who had saved them so miraculously and so amazingly, who had shown them miracle after miracle after miracle, they had the temerity to accuse Him of not providing for their basic needs. And He responded by providing for them every single day. Because in His covenant love, in His covenant faithfulness, He promised them, as He has promised us, never to leave them nor forsake them. And so as we look to our God, may we do so with an attitude of humility, rejoicing that He has provided everything that we need for life and godliness. But may we do so asking that He continue to provide everything we need, that He might build us up in us that strong trust, that absolute devotion to Him, that we may know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter our circumstances, no matter where we find ourselves, that we may know that which Abraham knew, even if we don't see where it's going to come from, that we might cry out in faith, Yahweh, Yireh, God is our provider. God alone is our provider. And so may we seek His face daily for that which we need. And may we seek his face, that he might build up in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, trust in our hearts, that we might know without a shadow of a doubt everything good in this life and everything good in the next life has come from his fatherly hand. And may we be diligent to feed daily upon the bread he has given us, that the word of Christ might dwell in us richly, as we seek only the honor and glory of our great God and loving Father, the power of his Holy Spirit, because of and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who is the bread of life. Amen.